I know my brother spoke in Romanian last week, but I'm going to be speaking in English tonight, if that's okay with you guys. I want to speak a little bit on the word covenant and the biblical and legal worldly meaning of covenant. The word in Romanian is legământ, and I'm sure we've all heard of that word thousands of times in the church. But I want to relate it a little bit to our personal lives and see what the Bible definition of the word covenant is. So the word covenant is a Latin term basically that is comprised of the words convenire, which means the coming together. So the coming together of two parties. It's legally a binding agreement. It's a compact. It's a testament between two people. And biblically, it's the same thing, in my opinion. It's the coming together of two parties. But in Hebrews 9, verse 15, if we can put it up there, we're going to speak a little bit to begin with on the meaning of covenant biblically. Hebrews 9, verse 15, in English, again, sorry. It says, therefore, he, Jesus, is a mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Now, I'm not going to get into old and the new covenant. I want it to be more practical. But we see here three things. The first thing, basically, we see is that the covenant is made possible through a mediator, who is Jesus Christ. He's a mediator of this new covenant. And in verse 24, the same chapter, it says that Jesus appeared in the presence of God on our behalf. So the two parties that Jesus brings together through his death is those who are called, the sinners that are called out of the world, and God himself, which is a powerful thing if you think about it. Romans 5, verse 10 says that we have been reconciled to God by the death of Jesus Christ. And the third thing that I want to mention about the covenant is that there are many results of the covenant. There are many results of this legament between God and people. And one of them we see in Hebrews 9:15 is eternal inheritance or eternal security, eternal life that we have promised through the death of Jesus Christ. So in biblical terms, covenant is a bringing together of God's called sinful people to himself through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. Romans 8:38 is a powerful verse that reinforces this aspect of eternal security. It says that nothing in all of creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as a little side note, I want to just encourage you guys, when you read the Bible tonight, tomorrow, whenever, to focus on those two words, in Christ, or in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's written a multitude of times in the Bible. And every good thing that we have from God, every good thing, every promise that we have from the covenant is because we are found in Christ. So if you are found in Christ, that's a huge blessing. And I want to make it a little more personal to us who are here tonight. we mentioned that God's chosen people are the recipients of the benefit of eternal inheritance or eternal life. And God's chosen people make up the church. And we hear, you know, the word church all the time, but what does it really mean? The Greek word for church is ekklesia, or ekklesia. And what that literally means, the definition of that is those called out from and to. So people called out of the world and to God. So the church makes up the covenant. People that are called, sinners that are called out of the world and to God, and makes up the church. And the church is the recipient of the blessings of the covenant. So that's us. I mean, if we'll get to something else later on, but God's called people received God's promises, and the church are the ones that receive that. And I want to make it a little more personal. Ephesians 5:25 tells us that Jesus has a covenant with the church. It says that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And we see here that primarily this is in the context of husbands and wives. And as you guys know, I recently came back from Romania, and I legally, civilly married Dana. And I applied for all the paperwork, and it's taking a long time. You know, the government likes to take their time on things. but I decided, instead of just waiting and doing nothing, I decided to study on the concept of marriage. You know, I'm not claiming to be an expert on marriage at all. I don't know what it's like to live a married life. I've never been screamed at for leaving my clothes on the floor other than my mom. I've never lived a married life before, but I want to know what the biblical definition of marriage is. And I think that is the biblical definition of marriage right there. But I was reading a book by John Piper, and he mentions that marriage is not only about staying in love. It's not only about staying in love. It's about reflecting the covenant that God has with his people, the church. And if we look at marriage, if we look at our wives, at our husbands, as an opportunity to reflect the covenant that God has with his church, then I think our love lives will change completely. And even for those who aren't married, if we look at relationships as a potential to reflect the love that God has for his people, that's such a powerful thing. And I was driving down the road to work one time. Sorry, I'm nervous. I saw a sign, and it said, "Undo I do, call 1-800-DIVORCE. And I was driving down the road, and I saw, it's easier to get a divorce than to order pizza. You know, like Domino's Pizza has a regular phone number to call, but you can just call 1-800-DIVORCE, and you can get a divorce like that. I think society's view on marriage is so low. It's something that just means nothing to them. And the biblical view of marriage to society is incomprehensible to those in society because they don't have that biblical foundation. So that's the first thing I want to apply this covenant to. And to those who aren't married, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage the church that God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Because of the covenant, we have eternal security. We have eternal life. And no matter how hard life gets, everything that we go through, good or bad, is for our benefit because we are found in Christ because of the covenant that God made with us through Jesus Christ. Romans 8:32 is one of the most powerful verses, in my opinion, in the Bible. It says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" God was so set on reconciling sinners to himself that he didn't spare his own son to do so. And I want us to remember that when we go to sleep, when we're facing hardships, economically, spiritually, whatever it is, that God was so set on reconciling himself to you, or you to himself, that he didn't even spare his own son to do so. I remember Ariel, a little while ago, I think it was for Christmas or some holiday, he mentioned that he's not sure if he would be able to give up his sons or daughters for the sake of someone else. And I agree completely with him. I mean, I agree, like, I don't have a son or a daughter. I have Maya and Annabelle. But I can't even begin to think about giving them up for the sake of someone else. And even when I have my own kids, I can never come to that point where I can say, you know, I see that there's a need for something. Take my son or daughter. I just can't do that. So just know that God was so set on bringing people together, bringing people to himself, that he didn't even spare his own son to do so. Amen. Last verse that I want to mention, John 10, verse 27-30. It says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So I mentioned the covenant in terms of marriage, in terms of singleness, in terms of the church. What about those who aren't under this covenant? What about those who aren't receiving the benefits of this covenant? And if you're here tonight, you know, old or young, and you're hearing this, I pray that you receive by faith the promise that God has for you in Jesus Christ so that you can be partakers of this covenant and to be part of the church, to be called out from a world of sinfulness into God's family, into our family, into the church. So I just want to encourage you guys with that. Thank you. Amen.